Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We got a lot to get into in this final hour of the week. Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we are going to play the best of our conversation with Tim Barbalace. He covers the Baltimore Ravens. A lot to get into about this matchup. This Xavier Worthy is going to play. We gave you the guys the stat yesterday. It is impossible to undersell the importance of what it means to have Xavier Worthy back for this game. If you look at the last 10 games in which he has finished for the Chiefs, he is averaging around 8 catches for 70 yards for the Kansas City Chiefs. So just to add that level of playmaker, that dynamic player in your offense is just big for this team. They don't have a lot of playmakers right now, but you get Xavier Worthy back. You got Tyquan Thornton. You can kind of get the other guys to kind of fill their role and do what they need to do. It just puts you in a good spot. This game could turn into a shootout. It could turn into a shootout. The Ravens are probably one of the top 5 offenses in the National Football League. They got a potential Hall of Fame quarterback. They got a future Hall of Fame running back. They got some decent weapons on the outside. They put 40 on the Buffalo Bills. They scored 30 on the Detroit Lions. This is a team that, for the most part, can score a lot of points. We'll see if Kansas City on defense can slow them down. Rob, how are you feeling about the Chiefs' defense and their ability to kind of match up against Baltimore in this game? Because for all the talk that we've heard about the Ravens' defense and how they can't stop anybody, and we'll talk more about their defense, their offense has been able to score. You at least got to acknowledge that the Bills gave up 40 points against them, that the Lions gave up 30 points, and what that means for their defense as well. How do you feel about Kansas City's defense as they line up against Baltimore?
I feel confident in the Chiefs' defense because I'm confident in the power structure of the Chiefs. They have Steve Spagnuolo, who we now know is one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL. They have Chris Jones, who I think is a Hall of Fame type of guy. They have Trent McDuffie, who I believe is an all-pro type. Like, they have all the pieces for me to be confident. And after a really bad week one, like, we can be honest, the Chiefs defense was bad in week one. Maybe not as bad as the Ravens have been, but they were bad in week one. They have tightened up. Now, if you want to tell me they've tightened up against bad teams, I'm open to that conversation. But I am far more confident in the Chiefs defense on Sunday than I am the Chiefs offense, which feels like a weird place to be in considering Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are on one side. But I feel like the Chiefs, they kind of looked themselves in the mirror after Sao Paulo and went, okay, that can't happen again. And they have gotten back to the level we anticipate them playing at most of the season.
So a lot of stuff to get into in this 5 o'clock hour. Again, we are going to be joined by Tim Barbalace coming up in a little bit. Want to give you guys the Ravens perspective on things. This is kind of where I am with this matchup. I don't really understand why the sentiment is so pro Baltimore in this matchup. If you look at the odds, Baltimore is a 2.5-point favorite at Arrowhead. So you would have to think that they'd be favored on a neutral site. I mean, if they're favored in Kansas City's home, they'd certainly be favored if this game was in Sao Paulo, for example. You would also have to imagine that they would be the favorite in the home team scenario as well. I don't really know what Baltimore has done to be labeled the clear favorite in this matchup. They are just as flawed as Kansas City is. This, to me, feels like the definition of a coin flip kind of game. Tim Barbalace earlier pointed this out. that the Ravens are bigger favorites against the Chiefs than Philadelphia was against Kansas City. That just doesn't add up to me. Philadelphia demolished Kansas City in the Super Bowl. Philadelphia has won 19 of their last 20 games. It makes sense to me how someone could come to the conclusion that Philadelphia is clearly better than Kansas City, and that closed at a pick 'em. This thing has stayed at 2.5 this entire time. It has never changed from 2.5. Vegas and the public is telling you that they also believe it, that their eye test, their metric, whatever you want to come up with, they think that Baltimore is better than the Kansas City Chiefs. I just want to know why and what they've done to proven that they are the better team. Because the same things that have gotten Kansas City beat so far this season, the Ravens have done the exact same thing. In the first game of the season, the Ravens had a comfortable lead. It was a turnover in the fourth quarter that shifted the momentum in the game. It was a back and forth dogfight on Monday Night Football. A fumble by Derrick Henry then puts the ball on the doorstep for the Detroit Lions. The Lions score a touchdown. They end up taking the lead, and they end up sitting on that lead and winning the game. The Ravens have not executed late, and that's why they're 1-2. The Chiefs have not executed late in games, and that's the reason that they're 1-2. I'm still trying to figure out, other than, well, Baltimore can score, and maybe that's just the answer, of why Baltimore is such a decided favorite in this matchup against Kansas City.
It makes quite literally no sense to me, because when you take everything you just said and you add in this element, Vegas has the over-under at last check at 48.5. That makes it feel like Vegas thinks this is a 24-21 type of win for the Ravens. Does anyone think that's how the game script is going to go? Does anyone think it's going to be 27-24 Ravens by a field goal? I think this game is either a rock fight and it's very low scoring, or maybe the Chiefs offense can get over on the defense. Like, Nate Taylor in the last hour has really upped my confidence in the Chiefs offense ability to score on this terrible Ravens defense. So, like, not only do I not understand why Vegas says the Ravens are superior, they think the Ravens are superior in a game that is going to be ugly and they're going to muck it up and that defense is going to slow down the Chiefs. That, nothing about that game script makes sense, but I will always say this when we talk about gambling, we talk about Vegas, and we talk about the odds and the spread and all those things. Man, Vegas doesn't build casinos and build luxury hotels out of losers, but it feels like nothing they're doing here makes any sense.
Yeah, and I guess in this, because someone on the text line points out that the Ravens offense is clearly better than the Chiefs offense, and it isn't close. I mean, I would agree with you so far, but if you're going to follow that, then couldn't we then follow on the opposite side that the Chiefs defense has been significantly better than the Ravens defense so far this season? For as poorly as I think the Chiefs defense played in week one, they held the Chargers to 27 points. It wasn't like the Chargers hung a 40 spot on them like we've seen hung against the Baltimore Ravens, or 38 like we just saw. They held them on a neutral site to 27 points, and I think we all acknowledge that the Chiefs defense played pretty poorly in this game. I'm only bringing this up because if you think the Chiefs still have questions, and that is very fair to think that the Chiefs have questions, I don't know how you also don't think the Ravens have to answer a lot of the same questions as the Chiefs. These two teams are in the exact same situation to me. You are sitting here 1-2, and you need to win to get back to 500 and just breathe a little bit and head into the next month. The Chiefs defense has to answer questions. The Ravens defense has to answer questions. The Ravens offense needs to answer, are you going to continue to commit those critical mistakes that have cost you to lose so far in this season? Are you going to have the fumbles? Are you going to make the mental mistakes and mental errors that they've made so far? I just think these two teams are a lot closer than Vegas thinks that they are and that the public thinks that they are. Because again, if you think the Ravens are a 2.5, 3-point favorite at Arrowhead, there is not a single location in which you think that the Chiefs would be a better team than them. You just think the Ravens are better than the Chiefs right now. I really don't know what they've done to be so clearly better than they are.
I think, and we've talked about this game now for basically 20 hours this week. I mean, we did a little bit of recap of the Giants game, but who cares? Russell Wilson stinks, the Giants stink, who cares? I feel like everyone we've talked to, we talked to Tim Barbalace here in about 20 minutes, we talked to Cordell Woodland, we've talked to Nate, there is a sense that these two teams are very much in the same spot and need this game for the same reasons. And it feels like the sentiment, at least in Kansas City, is the Chiefs are going to get back to being the Chiefs this weekend, and Vegas would have you feel the sentiment is the Chiefs aren't the Chiefs yet. Even with Xavier Worthy back, even though they've beaten the Giants, they aren't the Chiefs. Like, that's kind of where the divide is. Because if I look at the text line right now, there's a sense of, hey, the Ravens defense is bad. All they've done is beat the Browns. Vegas feels the opposite. They feel like the Chiefs aren't very good. All they've done is beaten the Giants, who are hapless. So that's what it comes down to. Are the Chiefs still the Chiefs, and they're going to bounce back and beat a good team, not a great team, but a good team at home, and get back to 500 and look like the team we anticipated? Or are the Ravens going to bounce back, get to 500 and say, hey, the Chiefs are down, we're going to kick them all they're down and get back to 500? I think the sentiment in Vegas and the sentiment in Kansas City are not the same, but are the Chiefs right now is the biggest question to me.
Yeah, I guess two things for the Chiefs are this. Number one, it's just starting faster. If you look at the NFL over the last 25 years, the team that scores first wins around 65 to 68% of the time. If you score first, it just gives you a significant advantage. One point that I've made this week is the Chiefs right now are not in a position from a talent discrepancy to give up every advantage that you can have. You can't lose the turnover differential. You can't commit penalties. You can't let the other team start first and then think that you have the ability to put it together and beat good teams like the Eagles, like the Chargers, like the Ravens. So number one thing for me is you just got to start these games sooner. In the last four Chiefs games, they have been outscored by 18 points in the first quarter of these games. You can't continue to play from deficits in these things. So if you get down 10-0 early on in this game, if the Ravens go down the field and score and now it's 7-0, you get the ball and you're at a 3-and-out, you are just constantly playing from behind the 8-ball. What I would love to see, and what you basically haven't seen outside of probably a 10-to-15-minute stretch on Sunday Night Football, is what is the Chiefs' tempo? Can they get the opposition to play at their tempo? Can they control the fight? They never controlled the fight against the Chargers in week one. They never controlled the fight against the Eagles in week two. Can they do that in week four against the Baltimore Ravens? They didn't control the fight for the most part against the Giants. It wasn't really until after halftime that the Chiefs put together their best offensive drive of the game, and they really just kind of took control from there. So can you play your brand of football, whatever that looks like for this version of the Kansas City Chiefs? Can you control the line of scrimmage both on the offensive and defensive side? Can you take advantage of the injuries and guys who are missing for the Baltimore Ravens? Can you play a clean brand of football? Which leads me to my second point about the Chiefs is the Chiefs haven't always been perfect, but the Chiefs have usually either they've made the play in the fourth quarter or they have taken advantage of you in the fourth quarter. So far in their two losses, they had a chance to get off the field. It was 2 minutes and 14 seconds left. It is 3rd and 12 against the Chargers. You just got to get a stop. You need your Hall of Fame defensive tackle to be disciplined, keep containment, get off the field here. You get the offense the ball back, and you got a chance to go down there and win the game. Well, Chris Jones does his own thing. Justin Herbert runs. He's wide open. He gets the first down. They run the clock out. They win the football game. Fast forward to week two. The Chiefs are down 13-10 at the beginning of the fourth quarter. They are putting together a lengthy drive, 14 plays, just chipping away, getting down the field. You make one mistake. Your tight end bobbles the ball in the air. It's an interception on the other side. You are about to march into the end zone. A turnover happens. It now goes the other way. The Eagles go down the field. They score a touchdown. It could have been a 17-13 game. You're now down 20-10, and you're just not realistically overcoming that deficit, not with the weapons that you have right now. We are used to the Chiefs either being the team that out-executes you or being the team that can out-talent and out-scheme you. I just don't think that's where they are right now with the talent standpoint. I'm also not really sure if they're there from a scheme point. So you got to out-execute. You can't commit penalties that take first downs and touchdowns off the board. You can't commit a turnover as you're walking into the end zone that ends a long drive that eats 8 minutes off the clock. If the Chiefs can execute and play a clean game, I think they can win. But so far against the two good teams that they've played, they've been unable to do that so far.
I think it's beyond the two teams. Like, if you want to counteract and tell me sample size and it's just been three games, cool. I don't think the Chiefs have played a clean brand of football at any point this year, even against the hapless Giants, who bench Russell Wilson basically the minute that game ended. the Chiefs wouldn't play a clean brand of football. The Chiefs weren't, like, mistake-free. I mean, Jawan Taylor had a graphic lined up for him. He had the big holding call that Nate Taylor pointed out. Like, they had some errors, and they had a missed kick. Like, they had some mistakes. They had some errors. They had some shortcomings. There were less of them, and they are more talented than the Giants. They're able to overcome them. But I think the shortcomings, the mistakes, the boneheaded plays, lack of a better term, have existed in all three games. So I'm with you. Can they clean that up and play their brand of football? The answer so far this season is no. And if you want to tell me the Chiefs are going to get back to being the Chiefs, the team we saw last year, beat the Bills, take care of business against the Texans, thump the Steelers on Christmas Day, and they're going to get back to being that, cool. But the sample size of this season is those mistakes that they make keep popping up. At a certain point, they go from it's a pop-up situation to it's a trend. And I don't know if that number is three games, but I don't know the Chiefs can play a clean brand of football. I haven't seen it in 2025.
And I think what makes this game so interesting is the Ravens also haven't really played a clean brand of football. And that's why all week we've been talking about this. This is the ultimate swing game between these two teams. It is a drastic difference. If you are 2-2, you have a 50% chance of making the postseason. If you start the year 1-3, you have a 13% chance of doing it. That I know we will continue to laugh off any percentage that tells you how hard it's going to be to make the postseason. But if anything, you just continue to make the hill that you have to climb that much tougher. The goal for this team needs to be, can you be 3-3 or better by the time Rashee Rice gets back? If you're talking about a team that could be 4-2 and you get back your number one offensive weapon, you got to feel like you are ready to hit the ground running. Maybe you lose this game or you lose the game to the Detroit Lions. It's hard to beat good teams consistently. If you can be at 500 by the time you get your offense back and heading into November, heading into that week 9 matchup against the Buffalo Bills, you got to feel good about the way that the season has kind of played itself out. And you're always going to go through some level of storm throughout the regular season. You got yours out early in the season. You have now gotten healthy. You have gotten right, and now you're ready to turn the corner. Let's just see what happens. Let's see how it goes. I'm picking the Chiefs to win this game. I don't really trust either of these two teams, if I'm being completely honest with you. I just trust and know the Chiefs a little bit more, and I don't think they're going to continue to make the critical error in the fourth quarter of these games, and that's the biggest reason why I'm picking them. I think it's a coin flip on either side. I'm just going to trust that the Chiefs can out-execute the Ravens in the final 8 minutes of these games, because we know it's going to come down to the last 8 minutes. If you've been watching the Chiefs, you know. There's not a scenario in which I think the Chiefs are up 21-10 heading into the fourth quarter, and it's an easy, stress-free watch. It hasn't been that in quite some time for the Chiefs. This is going to be a close game heading into the final 8 minutes of it. Can the Chiefs make one more play than the Ravens? I'm going to pick them to do that. I'm taking the Chiefs this week.
I am also taking the Chiefs this week, but my confidence in the Chiefs comes from this. I'm of the belief that Ravens defense is terrible, and I think you're going to find out this weekend. I don't think you're going to walk in on Monday and be like, man, the Chiefs offense figured out some things. I think you're going to walk in on Monday and be like, woof, boy, is the Ravens defense bad. I think it is exactly what they are statistically. I think they are beat up. I think they are lacking in talent. And I think they are a team that is ripe for the picking. And Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback that should have a get right game against a bad defense. So I'm agreeing with you. I'm picking the Chiefs, but it's not because of a clean brand of football or I think they're going to get back to being who they are. I think the opponent's defense is beat up and bad. And that is a combination that should lead to points for the Chiefs. And the Chiefs can score. I know it sounds dumb, but the Chiefs can score at a high level. I think they are very difficult to beat with how well their defense is playing. So I'm with you on taking the Chiefs, but my confidence stems from the Ravens are so bad defensively.
Do you trust the Chiefs to run the football in this game? And not just run it in terms of attempts. I mean, run it in terms of them being effective and being able to run the ball. Because the one thing I will say to defend the Ravens in this is a lot of people will point out, well, how many points? Nate was doing this. Well, they've given up 32 points per game. Well, wait, that was Josh Allen, who threw for almost 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. They had 5 different players have at least 50 yards receiving in that game. In the game against the Lions have maybe the most talented offense in the NFL outside of Philadelphia, and I think most people would take the Lions offense over the Eagles offense. They got the best running back duo in the league. They got 2 dynamic wide receivers. They got the best offensive line, perhaps, and a really good tight end. that's not really the weapons we're talking about with Kansas City right now. So if you're going to point out the defense for the Ravens, you at least got to point out who they've played so far and how they can potentially slow down an offense like Kansas City. We just saw a team run for almost 250 yards against the Ravens 4 days ago. Do you think that Kansas City can have some success running the football against the Ravens?
I don't mean to skirt your question, but define some success. Like, I think the Chiefs can run as effectively against the Ravens as the Giants ran against the Chiefs. I think Isaiah Pacheco could have a Cam Scataboo type of game where he has 15, 16 carries and gets 60, you know, 65, maybe 70 yards. Like, if you call that effective, then yeah, I think they can be effective. I think it will be something that they are not moving in reverse running the ball, but I don't think they're going to turn into, you know, the 2003 Chiefs. It's going to look like Priest Holmes back there with, you know, tons of space. I think what the Chiefs do against the Ravens will mirror kind of what Cam Scataboo did against the Chiefs.
I will absolutely take that. If you were telling me right now that you think the Chiefs can run it 27 times for 130 yards and a touchdown, press the button right now. That's a game that I am 100% confident that the Chiefs win. If you were telling me that for the first time this season, they are able to get true balance when talking about their run and pass and open things up, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll take that. If that's the scenario that we're talking about.
Yeah, that's why I clarify, like, define what success. Like, do I think they're going to run like the way the Lions did against the Ravens? No. Like, that's too high a threshold. But I think they can be effective running the ball on Sunday.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll play the best of Tim Barbalays. He is the Ravens insider. Before we do that, let's get you ready for a weekend in college football in the hits.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Carrington Authority's hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, we've talked a lot this week about proving it with the NFL, but let's shift to Saturday. A lot of those same prove it ideas exist as we got big matchups all across college football. We got Ole Miss and LSU. We got Alabama and Georgia, and we have the whiteout up in Happy Valley. We got Oregon taking on Penn State. Carrington, there are three teams in those three games that would fall into your category of, can they prove it? Can they break the perception on Saturday evening and night?
Yeah, I mean, I would start with the LSU-Ole Miss game. It just comes earlier in the day, so that seems like a really good place to start. If you are looking at Ole Miss and you are looking at their schedule, I'm a big believer that college football is a combination of coaching, luck, schedule, and talent. If you look at the schedule that Ole Miss has, this is, I would say, their second most difficult game of the season. They go on the road and they play Georgia in a couple of weeks. You would argue that's their most difficult game. If you can get this top five win at home against LSU, you then look at the remainder of their schedule. Again, they go on the road to play Georgia. They go on the road to play Oklahoma. That game has changed now with the injury to John Mateer. Their starting quarterback broke his hand. He's not playing in that game. South Carolina is not as difficult as we thought it was going to be. Florida is not as difficult as we thought it was going to be. And you got a road game against Mississippi State that would look for nothing more than to crash your party when it comes to you making the college football playoff. If you just take care of your own business and at a minimum win your home games and you can go 2-1 or 1-2 on the road, you would have to think that Ole Miss is going to be a college football playoff team. You and I have been looking for two things. Who's going to be this year's Tennessee? Who's going to be this year's Indiana? It looks like Missouri could potentially be this year's Tennessee. Tennessee could be this year's version of Tennessee. Ole Miss could be that team. Let's see who can separate themselves in the SEC. Moving on to the night games that we have. I'm just not a believer in Alabama. Maybe I'm overreacting to what we saw happen in week one against Florida State, but if you go back to last year, fast forward to what we saw earlier in this year, I'm not seeing it. I mean, their most recent road games, they went on the road, they got dominated by Florida State. Last year, to end the season, they went on the road, they got dominated by Oklahoma 24-3. They lost to Vanderbilt on the road last year. They lost to Tennessee on the road last year. I just don't trust this Alabama team right now to go on the road and beat good teams. I don't think they have more talent than Georgia. I don't think they have a better coaching staff. They're also going on the road at night. I think Georgia could win that game pretty handedly. Like, I think we could be talking about a blowout, and I think we could be having the conversation about, is Alabama going to keep their coach around for another season? I am not high on Alabama at all heading into tomorrow night's matchup. And the question for Penn State is, can they win one of these games? They just haven't won these games a lot. If you look at James Franklin, he is 3-17 against teams in the top 10. He is 1-12 against teams in the top 5. So when they play the creme de la creme, the top shelf teams, they get beat almost every single time. The last time that they beat a team that was ranked in the top 5 was in 2016 against Ohio State. So when they go up against the Ohio States, the Michigans, those level of programs, they lose. They're playing one of those teams on Saturday night in Oregon. It will go a long way for Penn State in terms of public perception. And they got a couple of those games this year. They go on the road and they play Ohio State. They also play Indiana later this year. And Indiana might be a lot better team than we had anticipated based off their blowout of Illinois. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to the Chiefs. The Chiefs go... They don't go on the road. They're at home. They're playing the Baltimore Ravens. We go on the road to Baltimore to be joined by Tim Barbalays. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Earlier today, we got a chance to catch up with Tim Barbalays. He is the Ravens insider. He joined us to get ready for week 4, Chiefs and Ravens. I told him that this feels like a prove-it game for both teams. Here's what he said.
I completely agree. And look, if the Ravens lose this game on Sunday, am I at the point where, oh, they're going to miss the playoffs? No, because let's just call the AFC North what it is. It stinks this year, you know? The Bengals, Joe Burrow is out for 3 months. The Steelers have tons of concerns defensively, offensively. They're extremely limited. I still think the Ravens will win the division. But yeah, you're right, man. And this is something that I brought up yesterday during a segment. They got to get over this Chiefs hurdle right now. Lamar Jackson has been a stud for years now, but he's been really bad against Kansas City. He's completed less than 55% of his passes in 4 of the 6 games he's played against the Chiefs. His passer rating's below 80 in 4 of those 6 games. And of course, they're 1-5. The Ravens got to prove they can beat Kansas City, and they've yet to win at Arrowhead with Patrick Mahomes as starting quarterback. They haven't won in Kansas City since 2012, their last Super Bowl year. So I'm with you. Right now, heading into this game, the Ravens against Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, they're 3-9. You got to get over those hurdles.
Yeah, I feel like that's a question for Lamar that just pops up at every single turn. Lamar has done just about everything that you can do as a regular season quarterback, but you alluded to it. He's in this big three with Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and himself. He's been unable to beat Patrick Mahomes. He has had some slip-ups against Josh Allen. Sometimes I just wonder if this Ravens team, if the clock is going to expire for them, if they're just going to be a team that just has tremendous regular season success but is unable to take that next step. Sports history is just littered with those kind of teams.
It's certainly a possibility, for sure, and that's why it just felt like this was going to be the year, and maybe it still will, Carrington. I mean, it's still September, but I mean, how many different articles did you read or guest, you know, shows say it's the best roster in football, this is the best Ravens roster in the Lamar Jackson era, and the roster did seem very loaded. They really didn't lose all that much from last year, running it back but with the additions of some free agent acquisitions in the draft, and that's why it's been so disappointing for them to get off to this start. And in particular, that game against Buffalo, where it's one thing to lose against the Bills, but it's how they lost that game. Another fourth quarter collapse, a game in which it looked like they were going to run the Bills out of the gym, and then they just ended up, you know, gacking it away late. So it's definitely in the back of their heads, man. I mean, you can't tell me it's not a mental component at this point. And trust me, if they get up by double digits on Sunday and Mahomes leads the touchdown drive, you can't tell me there's going to be people on that sideline with the thought, here we go again.
Tim, moving to one of the top stories right now with the Ravens has been the fumbles from Derrick Henry. If you look at his career, this isn't really a part of his track record. He's not really a guy who's been known for that. What do you make of the early season struggles from the future Hall of Fame running back?
So I'll say this when it's with Derrick Henry. Anyone, and we know the history of running backs in their 30s, when it goes, it tends to go quick. I'm not saying this guy's washed. That is not what I'm saying at all. No one in Baltimore envisioned that he was going to have an encore season better than last year where he rushed for over 1,900 yards. That's just not going to happen. I still think he's going to have a strong year. But in terms of the fumbles, yeah, it's a concern. You saw the shot of him on the sidelines after that fumble Monday night, throwing his helmet down and almost taking himself out in the process. You know, you could tell how pissed he was and upset he was, and that outburst was very, very uncharacteristic out of Derrick Henry, and quite frankly, it told me everything you need to know, and I think it is in his head, and this is a storyline until it's not.
Tim, looking at the last 2 weeks from the Ravens, what were the Browns capable of doing to slow down Derrick Henry? What did the Lions do on Monday night to slow him down as well?
Well, I think that we've seen, especially in that Lions game, the Ravens have just gotten dominated in the trenches. The Ravens' offensive line, it's four out of the five are the same starters from last year. Now, I will say Ronnie Stanley, his status very much up in the air on Sunday, and if he misses, then that'll be very interesting to see how the Ravens' offensive line holds up. But I think they're just getting kind of whooped up front, to be honest. And there has been some runs from Derrick Henry in which that, you know, he's tiptoeing a little bit, maybe thinking a little too much. But I think it's just they're getting beat up front. And the pass rush has been there. Myles Garrett was having a field day. The Lions sacked Lamar Jackson seven times. That tied a career high. I remember seeing the Pro Football Focus stat. He was pressured 30 times. That just seems incomprehensible, the fact that you can get 30 pressures in a single football game. The Ravens have to be better up front on the O-line and the D-line.
Tim, there was a lot of talk surrounding John Harbaugh after week one. Was that just usual frustration from Ravens fans about a difficult loss, or is there kind of problems right now happening in Baltimore?
Well, Harbs has been a big lightning rod for criticism for quite some time. Heck, Carrington, we can go back after the 2023 AFC Championship, where I think everybody was confident that the Ravens were going to beat the Chiefs in that one. Ravens ran the ball all of six times in that football game. So Harbs is under the microscope for sure, and I think a lot of people are pointing to the 17 double-digit second-half leads that John Harbaugh has blown since becoming head coach in 2008. It's been a long time, man. And if that type of game that happened against the Bills happened in the postseason, it wouldn't shock me at all if John Harbaugh lost his job. If the Ravens do not make the playoffs this year, and I don't think that that's going to happen, but if they didn't make the playoffs, I think it would cost John Harbaugh his job, because ultimately, we've seen so many different guys come in terms of coordinators, in terms of defensive players, offensive players, and these collapses continue to happen. And fair or unfair, John Harbaugh is the one constant throughout all of them.
Funny, Tim, because this game maybe doesn't have the kind of pop and sizzle that you and I both thought with 2-3-0 teams, but that doesn't make this game any less important. This is a massive swing game for both the home and the road team on Sunday afternoon.
Without question, man. And look, I don't know how you can really pick the Ravens in this spot. I'm not saying they can't get it done, but I got to see them get it done in Arrowhead before I can confidently pick them. So I would lean with Kansas City. I'm sure you guys have talked a lot all week long about the point spread. I'm kind of shocked that the Ravens are 2.5-point favorites in this one. And to put it in perspective, they're a bigger favorite in Arrowhead than the Eagles were a couple weeks ago. So Vegas has been high on the Ravens. Maybe they're right, but I'm not picking them this week.
That was Tim Barbalace. He is the Ravens insider for 105.7 The Fan. We also had Cordell Woodland on the show on Thursday. We asked him our simple question, Chiefs win if, Ravens win if. Here's what he said.
Well, I think the Chiefs win. I think the Chiefs win if they're able to contain that offense enough. Like I said, the Ravens' offense hasn't really been an issue at all this year outside of Henry's fumbles. Now, them running the ball has struggled. They struggled with that the last 2 weeks. I think it's the first time in the Lamar Jackson era where they've been held to under 100 rushing yards in back-to-back games. And that's crazy to think with Derrick Henry back there as well. But, yeah, I think if the Chiefs can kind of limit the Ravens' offense, keep them to 30 or under, and keep that run game bottled up to where you limit the explosive plays, I think that's a great recipe for success for them. I think the Ravens win if they can get a couple of turnovers. They talked about that all offseason defensively, and they haven't really been able to do that at all, at least in the games against these good teams like the Lions and the Bills. If they could force Mahomes into a couple of turnovers, that would help. And it also helped if they could actually put some pressure on them because they weren't able to do that against the other two good offenses they faced.
That was Cordell Woodland, who covers the Baltimore Ravens. Neither one of them, I would say, sounded overly confident about the Ravens' chances. I mean, I think these two teams are just all same places, that a win is going to cure a lot of the September blues and lead you in a positive way heading into October. A loss means you just got a lot more work to do, and you got to try to dig yourself out of a 1-3 hole. I've told you guys this when it comes to the Ravens. If the Ravens lose this game, I'm going to have at least two thoughts. I'm going to have the thought, number one, of if you lost to Buffalo, Detroit, and Kansas City, what makes you a Super Bowl contending team if you're 0-3 against the other teams that we think can potentially win the Super Bowl? And just, are we sure about the Ravens? Just how I feel about this team, where they're headed, the direction. Are they going to be able to get over the hump? It's a lot to discuss with either team if they start off the season 1-3. We'll get to our Sunday six-pack coming up on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
We've talked a lot about how this is today, especially in college football. You got Ole Miss at home against LSU. You got Oregon and Penn State. You got Alabama and Georgia. So you got a handful of really important college football games. Why don't we do this? We'll call it the Sunday Six. I'll give you a six-pack of games that I'm really looking forward to, and we'll break them down. Let's start with Vikings and Steelers. Minnesota is a slight favorite in this game. That makes sense to me why Minnesota would be a slight favorite in this game. I think they're the better team. This is a total and a spread that I would just stay away from. But if you're telling me I got to bet on one of these teams, I would probably take Minnesota on a money line. And I'd probably throw them into a parlay with another game that I feel a coin flip about. Where are you at for Sunday early morning? We get our first early morning international game from Ireland, Vikings and Steelers.
I am all in on the Vikings in this game. I do not know what other people are seeing with the Steelers. They feel like a 9-8 bland vanilla football team to me. Like, they're relying heavily on Aaron Rodgers, who didn't play great against Brian Flores' defense last year. I don't think getting older is going to help that. I understand the Carson Wentz factor, but I think Kevin O'Connell is a really good coach. I told you earlier this week, I think he's one of the top five coaches in the league. I really like the Vikings in this game, and I think I'm trying to convince the group that does the circuit contest with us here at the station to put the Vikings minus 2.5 into our bets this week, because I really like Minnesota against Pittsburgh.
So moving on in the NFC, we got the Eagles and the Bucks. It's funny because the Chiefs, they can't stay off national TV. The Eagles, they have three consecutive games that kick off at noon, 1 o'clock for the people out there on the East Coast. Eagles and Bucks. I would actually pick the Bucks if they had Mike Evans. I just think you've seen a much different version of Baker Mayfield when they've had Evans and when they don't have him. But you're going to tell me Philadelphia minus 3.5. Bucks a little wounded right now. I think you got to take the Eagles until proven otherwise. I mean, they won 19 of their last 20 games. Right now, it's just their turn. They're just that team right now that everything is going right. I think you got to continue to ride with them. A Eagles-Vikings parlay, I think, makes a lot of sense. I'm going to go with the birds on the road.
So here's my thing. I think you're on the right side of this, but man, the Eagles feel like last year's Chiefs. And I know we talked about it ad nauseum throughout the season. It felt like the Chiefs were playing with fire. They just kept getting in close games and winning. And we talked about the championship mentality and all those things. Through three games, Philly's the same. Philly won a one-possession game at home to start the season against a division rival. They then went on the road, Super Bowl rematch, won a one-possession game on the road. They then had a blocked kick to win a one-possession game. I guess it ended up being two possessions because of the scoop and score. But man, it feels like they're last year's Chiefs. I kind of feel like they're lucky and the Bucks are a better team, but I cannot go against like that feeling of championship type of pedigree. So I'm with you on the Eagles, but I have no confidence in this game because the Eagles feel like last year's Chiefs, where you're going to be down to the wire in every game.
This is Colts and Rams. Colts and Rams. That is the 3 o'clock slate over on Fox. Not a whole lot of the country is going to get access to this one, not with CBS having Chiefs and Ravens. I think this is where things come crashing down a little bit for the Indianapolis Colts. They won one game they weren't supposed to win against the Broncos. They also have beat two of the worst teams in the National Football League. You know how I feel about the Rams. I feel like they're one of the better teams in the league. Rams minus 3.5. I love it. Give me the Rams minus 3.5 at home. I think we see the Colts kind of fade back to reality just a little bit. They're a team that's going to lose 7, maybe 8 times. It's just one of them.
I don't like how similar they are in the first three games. Like, through a six-pack, me and you are very much in line here. I think the Colts are a very nice story, and you and Nate Taylor described it perfectly. They're like a 10-7 division champ who loses in the first round to a superior wild card team. Maybe it's the Ravens, maybe it's the Chiefs. I don't know. I don't think they're as good as the Rams. I'm less impressed with the Rams than you are, but it feels like the Colts are playing with fire, and now they're coming away from home. I like the Rams in this game. May not the same confidence you do, but it's just eventually Danny Dimes turns into Danny Dimes, right?
I mean, Jaguars and Niners is a very interesting one. We got two teams that are both over 500. San Francisco, I mean, they just continue to be bit by the injury bug. They lose their best defensive player to an injury. Their quarterback has been injured. Who knows, man? They just figure out a way to continue to win and win and win. This is a game that I would just stay away from. That 3.5 scares me a little bit because I think that half point is what ends up biting you. If it was -3, I'd be on San Francisco. But because it's a 3.5, I just would stay away from it. I do like San Francisco to take care of business at home, but it's just not a game that I feel very strongly about when it comes to San Francisco.
So I actually really like the Jags in this game. I know Brock Purdy might be back. Like, there are some thoughts that he's returning to practice. He might be back this week. Man, I think the Niners are a lot like the Colts. They just have a name we're more comfortable with. What have the Niners done this year that makes you think they're good? Like, they beat the Saints. Cool. I guess they won on the road at Seattle. What is Seattle? And then they beat the Cardinals at home. Like, I think the Niners' umph and juice is based on the fact that the Niners. I think the Jags are a better team than them, so give me the Jags in this one.
Moving on in the NFL, we talked a lot about the Ravens and Chiefs and how important that game is for both teams. We'll close it out with the Packers and the Cowboys. This is the return of Micah Parsons, who was going back to Dallas after the big-time trade. I think the Packers get back on track in this matchup. I don't know what happened last week against the Cleveland Browns. I think the Browns just have a much better defense than most people are giving them credit for. I think we look back at the Packers, and when we look at week 17 and week 18, and Green Bay is in a fight with the Lions and potentially the Eagles for the one seed, we'll look back and think, how did they lose three games? Oh, yeah, they lost in week 3 to the Cleveland Browns. I think the Packers go on the road. I think they take care of business. I'm going to take the Packers on the road and Micah Parsons' return. I think it's like -160 for Micah Parsons to get a sack. Just feels like they're giving money away.
Let me ask you a question, because I agree with you on the Packers winning. I think they're the better team, blah, blah, blah. Is the only intrigue about this game Micah Parsons? Because there's nothing on the field, like the two teams actual playing football, that is interesting to me. And I wonder how much of this storyline and drama and what Jerry's going to say, and there's no, you know, tribute video, is a little bit of a media creation. Because I think once they kick off and all the pomp and circumstance or lack thereof is over, does anyone think the Cowboys with that defense can keep up with the Packers at all? This game might look like that Packers-Cowboys playoff game did a few years ago. I don't think there's anything in the actual between the lines, the game on the field, that's interesting. It's all Micah and Jerry drama.
Yeah, I'm not on that same page. I actually think the Cowboys have been a pretty entertaining so far team so far this season. Now, I mean, I guess they weren't last week against the Bears. They just got pummeled last week by the Bears. But week 1 was good against Philadelphia before the rain came. They probably played in the most exciting game so far this season against the New York Giants. So, yeah, no, I'm a believer. I think it's going to be a pretty interesting game on Sunday Night Football. I'm looking forward to it. I'm taking the Chiefs. I'm taking them on the money line. I just think that's the right side to be on for Sunday's matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. You guys know that we will be here on Monday to break it all down for you and recap all of the football action for this weekend. I hope that you guys have a safe homecoming if you're headed to Mizzou. I know KU is at home against Cincinnati. I think K-State's also at home too, right, against
UCF.
Yep,
they're playing UCF.
So all three local schools are at home this weekend, so travel safe if you are heading to either one of those three destinations. We got you covered next weekend. Until then, we're going to take our weekend. Daniel Craig.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.